Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
All right. And we just thank God for being here this morning. Thank God. How many know? Let's give the kids another hand. Amen. Good job, Sister Paula. Thank you. Amen. Just thank God for them. Amen. How many know that it's always a pleasure to see kids worshiping God? You know, and adults too, but I mean, it's a little bit precious when it's the kids. Amen. All right. So we hear the announcements about Pastor Terry is doing good. Amen. And thank God for that. Amen. He's just keep on improving. So we just thank God for what he's doing and thank God for you. At the end of the service, what we want to do is we're going to take up an offering for Pastor Terry and Miss Brenda for Clergy Appreciation Month, which was October. And we thought he was going to be able to make it back before November, but he didn't. He hadn't made it back because we want to just do an offering for them at the end of the service, which I think the plates are still here, but I told the guys they know about it. But we want to do that in honor of him and Miss Brenda, okay? So I won't preach but an hour and a half, and then we can take care of that. No, just kidding. Just kidding, okay? All right. If you have your Bibles, let's go to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. And I'll begin reading at the 21st verse, the 25th verse. But before we do that, can we just pause? We want to pray for Brother Jim and Miss PJ, their son, Jim the second, I think, right? Okay. He's been diagnosed with cancer, but how many know we know a God that heals, right? Yeah. All right. And then we want to pray for, I don't know if you remember Vanessa McNeely. She's on the verge of having a kidney replacement, so we want to pray for her also. So let's just pause and pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord God, that you are the healer, Lord. And God, we just pray for Jim, Lord God. We pray, God, that you would just, God, give him peace in his mind, Father. And God, we pray, Father, that you will heal this cancer, Lord, that he's been diagnosed. And we pray, God, that you would just show yourself strong on his behalf, Father. And Lord, we pray for Sister Vanessa, Lord God, that you would just, as she goes through this transition, Lord, of a kidney replacement, Lord, we just pray, God, that you would just cause things to work out, Lord God, that it will work out smoothly, Father. And God, there's no complications with this, Lord. And God, we just give you praise in advance for what you're doing. And we just ask you in the name of Jesus that they would be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So what we want to talk about today is fear, okay? And if you look at, I think I gave you the chapter, St. Luke 21 and starting at 25. And what we're going to talk about is, you know, a lot of people are being gripped with fear, you know, and but how many know, as a believer, God has not given us a spirit of fear? So what I'm going to share with you, you probably already know it, but it's just a reminder, okay, that you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to fear, because the God that we serve is more than enough, isn't he? You know, and he's faithful, amen? And if he said it, guess what? He's going to do it, amen? But how many know that we have to stand in faith, believing God, okay? Because, you know, what's going on now, how many know that Israel has faced a natural battle, but we're facing some spiritual warfare. And what we have to understand is that it's not going to cease, okay? But what we have to do as believers is to begin to grow into maturity. Because if we stay babes, how many know it's not that you're going to be lost if you stay a babe, but how many know you won't benefit from the power that's within that God has provided for you to live victorious. You know, be more than a conqueror. You know, so we have to grow up and mature in the things of God so that we can begin to handle the things that God said that we could handle and do the things that God said we can do without being intimidated by the enemy. Okay? So we're not trying to inflict fear. We're trying to bring peace to the situation and let you know that you don't have to be afraid. You know, because how many know that when you go through things, if you look at the world, it could be a fearful thing. But how many know that God has already told us these things were going to happen? You know, and you know, before I get into this, you know, I'm going to say some things that probably, you know, most people won't agree with, but I'm going to say it anyway. But, you know, some things you can't pray away. You know, if God has said it in his word, this is going to be, we can't pray it away. But there are some things that we can pray away. Okay, I want you to understand that before I get into it, because prayer is very important to the body of Christ. I know that's one of the least things that we ever want to talk about. It's the least thing that when you call a prayer meeting, it is the least attended service that you could ever have is a prayer meeting. You know, and that's because I don't believe we understand the power of prayer. You know, because prayer, how many know prayer changes things? Amen. But we have to pray in alignment. Okay. We have to pray in alignment. Okay. So let's get into the word here. Let's get started. Okay. It says, and there will be signs in the suns and the moons and stars and on the earth. Nations will be in distress, anxious over the roaring of the sea and the surging waves. People will be fainting. People will be fainting. And that is another word that used in a different translation. It says, men's heart will fail them for fear for what the expectation, what is coming on the world. For the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man arriving in the clouds in power and great glory. But when these things begin to happen, stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawn now. All right, I want to drop down to the 34th verse. And he says, be on your guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with carousing or drunkenness or worries of this life. That day come down upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will overtake all who live on the face of the whole earth. But stay alert in all things, in all times. Stay alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that must happen and to stand before the Son of Man. Now notice when we read this, this is Jesus talking to the disciples, and you know, and he's letting them know that men's hearts are gonna fail them for fear of what's coming upon the earth or the land. And how many know we see this in many areas? We see people that are afraid, you know, don't know what to do, don't know how to conduct themselves because of fear. You know, and the what he's saying there, the fear that he's talking about is not just the physical heart. You know, some people say, well, that's why people are having heart attacks, you know, and all this. But that word heart there, what it really means is the psuche, the soul, the mind, will, and emotions. See, and when fear sets in, how many know it affects our emotions? It affects our thinking. You know, and what we have to understand is that we're not to be controlled by what? Our emotions, okay? God gave us our emotions. Emotions are not bad, but how many know they're not to be, we're not to be led by our emotions. We are to be led by what? The Spirit of God, see? And that's where we got to understand that in maturity, what it means to be led by the Spirit of God is not a spooky thing. Amen. It's just the life that's on the inside of you is being influenced by what? The Holy Spirit. Your decisions, your thinking, you know, you don't allow your feelings to get out. You don't allow your feelings to dictate to you how you're going to respond or how you're going to react. You allow the Holy Spirit to bring the influence to cause you how to react and how to respond. Okay? So what's going on here is that the hearts of people will faint. You know, and how many know the Word of God said that in well-doing, he said, in well-doing, thou will reap if you what? Faint not. See, and the enemy's onslaught is this, is to get us to what? Faint. There's another word for faint. It means to throw in the towel. Throw in the towel. And another one is just to quit, flat out quit. But how many know we're not quitters? Amen. We're not quitters. Why? Because there is something on the inside of us that won't let us quit. Amen. And it's called the Holy Spirit of God that has empowered each and every one of us. Okay. So, and notice what he said in the 34th verse. He says, but be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with carousing and drunkenness. Now, some people look at that as a natural drunkenness, and it could be. But how many know that you can become drunk on the things of the world, where the world is influencing you? Okay? And when it speaks of drunkenness, it talks about the influence. What is influencing your life? What is influencing us? Is it the cares of this life? Is it deceitfuls of riches and all these things that he's talking about here? He's saying, guard your heart from these things. Guard your soul from these things. Why? Because if you start looking at these things and you start pondering on all these things, how many know it can bring what? Depression. It can bring stress. It can bring anxiety. And what do the Word of God teaches us about anxiety? He said, be anxious for nothing, but what? But in all things with prayer and supplication. Okay? So what we have to understand is there are things that are going to happen, but we have to guard our hearts from those things. How many know Proverbs says, guard thy heart, for out of it flows what? The issues of life. We got to guard ourselves from these things, you know, and one way to guard ourselves, and I'm not against the media or anything like that, but how many know you can overindulge in these things and you can become so depressed and thinking this is the way it's going to be. But how many know you can't believe everything you see on the media? You know, they pump it up and I mean, they make it look like, man, this thing is, there is no hope. But how many know that ain't the profession that we should have? How many know we always have hope? Amen. The hope of glory is in us. Yes. Amen. So we got to guard ourselves from these things. And notice what he said, and the worries of this life. And that they come upon you suddenly like a trap. And I mean to know that's the enemy's scheme, is to trap us into thinking there's no way out. There's no hope. There's no victory. There's no joy. There's no peace. See, but what we have to understand is that we have to begin to look into the Word of God. It is so important now that we get anchored in the Word of God. Why? Because there are so many voices and there are so many messages that are going out that we have to have the Word of God to rightly discern what's going on or to attest the things that are coming on the earth. That's why Paul told us in Romans 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may be able to what? Prove or to attest. What is the will of God? What is the purpose of God? I mean, you know, the Word of God will begin to give you discernment to where you will be able to attest these things that are trying to filtrate through your mind. Because that's what the Bible is. The battle is in the mind. You know, a lot of people think, well, the battle, you know, we just going for it. But how many know the battle is right here? And it's challenging each and every one of us every day. The word, we got to understand that I have to get in the Word of God. Why? Because my life depends upon it. And I know a lot of people say, well, you know, it ain't that serious. Oh, yes, it is. It is that serious. Because that's what the enemy want to do. He want to keep us from the Word of God, because he know that if we ever begin to learn to work with the Word of God and begin to understand the revelation of the Word of God, he know that we are going to work havoc over his little mess. Okay? And he know that he can't stop us, but he want to distract us. He want to get us distracted to where we're so fearful to where we won't move and we won't do anything. Why? Because fear has a way of paralyzing us. And that's what his aim is to paralyze us. But how many know the devil is a lie? He is a lie. Amen? And that's what he want to do. He want to paralyze us, okay? Look at Mark chapter 4. I want to read this to you for a second. I'm going to kind of detour from a note here. But I want you to read this, because what we have to understand is that when fear comes in, how many know we cease to operate by faith? When fear comes in, we cease to operate by faith. Now, there is a godly fear, which is called reverence fear under God. How many know that's a different fear than what we're talking about here? This fear, what we're talking about here, is to try to stop you or intimidate you or cause you to begin to doubt God. Okay? Now, what we look at this, how many know that when you have a big God, you can have big faith? See, my faith is not based on me, but my faith is based on God. Amen? So when we read the Word of God, how many know the Word of God tells us how big he is, how wonderful he is, how powerful he is, how great he is? See, the Bible will let us know that, but if we don't get into the Word of God and see that, and we live by presumption instead of really real faith, I mean, you know, presumption is just wishing, you know, mental assent. You know, if I feel it, I believe it, but if I don't see it, I can't believe it. I mean, you know, that's mental assent. But when we begin to operate by faith that's been produced by the Spirit of God, I mean, you know, it causes us to become solid as a rock. Amen? So that's the faith that we want to grow in. And when Jesus is talking to his disciples here, notice what he said in verse 40. I think I told you, Mark chapter 4, verse 40. And he said to them, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Now, to bring you up to this, how many know that they, I don't know, Jesus has told them that, look, we're going to the other side. Go, you back up and read it. He told him, he said, look, get in the boat. We're going to the other side. Now, Jesus is God. He always does this. And how many know if you ain't careful, he do us the same way. He never tell us what's going to happen in the middle. He just said, you going to the other side. Okay. See, the word has already been put out. We're going to the other side. I mean, you know, we're going to the other side of this. Amen. But many a times he don't tell us what's going on, what's going to happen in the process of going from here to the other side. And when he began to talk to them, and he just went down and took a nap in the boat, and he was just taking him a nap. But the disciples got upset because of the wind and the waves and all the storms that was going on. And then they go down and wake him up, disturb him, you know, and wake him up. And then he began to ask them, he says, why are you afraid? See, the possibility and the opportunity for you and I to be afraid is gonna come. See, sometimes we think, well, because I believe God, no, this ain't gonna come. The opportunity for me to doubt is gonna come. The opportunity for me to be afraid is gonna come. But see, it's what I do with the fear when it comes that really matters. See, it's what I do with it when it comes. See, and because I know what the word of God says, I know he hasn't given me a spirit of fear. I know that when fear tries to come, I know immediately it's trying to intimidate me from moving forward. But I got to overcome the intimidation and see myself overcoming. Amen. Why? Because God said I would. Woo! He said I would go to the other side. Yeah. He said you would make it. Amen? So they asked him, and Jesus is saying, why are you afraid? Can you imagine Jesus Christ being on the boat and you just a little ocean and you're out there and all these waves start going, you know, I would think, hey, you know, I ain't gonna worry about it. Jesus on board. I mean, you know. See, now we know that now, but I'm talking about then we probably would have been in the same boat hollering, wait a minute here now. I can't swim and drink all this water. Yeah. So Jesus, you gotta do something. Yeah. Amen. Come on, you know how our carnal minds can go to think, oh Lord, is this it? You know, because I'm going to tell you what happened to me. You know, I can talk about John, right? Okay. Back when I had a couple of months ago, you know, I had this thing. I was out cutting grass with my mower, and I twisted a little bit, and I thought I did pull a muscle in both sides of my back. So I called Pastor Terry. I got up that Friday. I felt fine. I got up Saturday. I felt fine. Got up Sunday, I couldn't walk. And I called Pastor Terry and I said, I ain't gonna make it today. And he said, you okay? And I said, man, I can't even walk. I mean, I was so discomfort. I told Faye, I tried standing up and it wouldn't work. I tried laying down, it wouldn't work. You know, I just had to tell the whole story, okay? And we thought, I don't know how can I say this in a nice way? That's all right. They were patting me on the back and giving me stuff for gas and beat me in the back, and I'm thinking, oh, I feel a little bit better now. Then all of a sudden it would come back. Long story short, I end up going to the urgent care. When I got there, they looked at me and they said, we can't do nothing for you. Your blood pressure is over 200. I was feeling fine. And so he said, you're going to have to go to the emergency room. So long story short, I go to the emergency room. They run tests on me, giving me these things. I'm telling people, call Pastor, just be praying for me. They can't get my blood pressure down and all these things. You know, so they said, well, your blood pressure won't go down. We're going to have to keep you overnight for observation. I thought, I can go home. My wife can do that. Yeah, but if something happened to you, she can't get you here quick enough. So I'm telling you this because I'm going to share something about fear here, how, you know, what happened to me. So they start running tests and they say, well, we need to check your heart. They checks my heart. Oh, look like something is going on with your heart. Oh, Jesus, okay. So they come back the next morning. Well, you got to get up and go do those heart cath and all this stuff. And, you know, and they said, you got an aneurysm on your main artery. Now, wait a minute. I just went to the heart doctor a month ago. He told me don't come back for 2 years here. So I'm wondering what's going on. So when they told me that I had an aneurysm on my main artery, I was shaking like a leaf. And I said, what? And I said, oh, Lord, have mercy. And this is what the enemy started talking to me about. It was, I'm telling you, he started, well, you might as well go on and make out your obituary. And guess like a little dummy, guess what I did? I agreed with him and I said, yep, I better go ahead and start getting, Pastor Terry gonna do the eulogy and got a few songs, this one gonna make remarks and God is my witness. The Holy Spirit wrote, I felt it right here, wrote, he said, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Three times. And I said, I got to get my bitch. what are you doing? And I was so afraid. I was acting in fear. And all of a sudden, God is my witness. I said, took that paper, wasn't nobody around but me and God and this little old robot computer. And I said, okay, God, I'll live and not die. And when I said those words, fear left me. I mean, my heartbreak, everything just, boom, went down. And you know what had my heart rate up was the fear and the stress that they had put on me with telling me all these bad reports. Amen? But I know the word of God said, whose report will you believe? And I said, I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. I start confessing the word of God, and that fear broke off of me. I'm telling you. I mean, I was shaking like a leaf, and I said, Lord, I was just kind of ashamed of myself. Because I said, now, John, you know better than that. Why you give up so easy? But how many know I hadn't experienced that before to that degree of saying, you know, you got an aneurysm on your main artery. And you know what? It really wasn't an aneurysm. I went to my heart doctor, and he said, John, that's just tissue. Fatted tissue from aging. And I said, now you tell me. He said, well, I don't know why they told you you had an aneurysm. He said, you all right? You fine. But you know what? I had to go through something to realize how the enemy will put so much fear on you to where we would just say, okay, we agree with him. But how many know I'm here today to tell you that Jesus is saying, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? You don't have to be afraid. Why? Because he haven't given you the spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind or a disciplined mind. See, and that's where we got to wake up and begin to live out of what God has said about us, right? Because what happens a lot of time is fear will bring intimidation. Fear will paralyze us. Fear will cause us to doubt God. But how many know, thank God for the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us that will rise up and begin to say, what are you doing? And as we read this, Jesus is asking it, why are you afraid? You know, it's good to talk faith when ain't nothing going on. I mean, we can rally it off. You know how that old song says, he's the God of the mountain, you know. It's easy when you're on the mountain. Oh, you can talk at faith. I mean, yeah, blessed and highly favored and too blessed to be scratched and, you know, all kind of stuff we be saying. But let something hit us. Let it hit John, and we're going to see what John is made out of. But how many know it's not to put us down, but it's to bring us to a place of realization, awareness. And when we get to that place of awareness, that's the greatest place we can be. Why? Because we're aware that God is with us. We're aware that God is in us. He's not way off anywhere. And Jesus asked him, he said, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? See, when we operate, when fear comes, we cease to operate in faith. And some people say, well, faith is the opposite of fear is the opposite of faith. But how many know fear is torment? See, fear brings torment. And that's why the Bible says that when we are made perfect or mature in love, perfect love casts out fear. See, and when we walk in love, how many know who can be against us when we walk in love? And that's what John is saying, that when we mature in love and begin to grow in love and love each other with a genuine love and not just with a hook, how many know that love perfects within us? And how many know it deals away, it do away with fear? You know, because when you're walking in love, why do I have to be afraid? If I'm just loving people, why would you want to hurt me? I mean, I'm a good guy, right? Come on, you know, hey. But how many know sometimes we can walk in love and stuff still can happen, but we don't have to come out of love. We can still walk in love, you know. And I know that there are growing things. We have to grow in this. But notice what Jesus said to them. He says, do you still have no faith? They became very much afraid and said to one another, who then is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Say, look at your neighbor and let them know, hey, God has got this. Come on, tell your neighbor, God has got this. See, he's not going to turn his back on you just because you go through a little old heart cath and they give you a bad report. He got this. Amen. You know, I start listening. I mean, the Holy Spirit just started bringing the word of God up in me. And see, I just had enough sense to say, oh, yes, good gracious. You know, and I was telling Faye about it when it happened. I said, man, I was shaking like a leaf, man. You know, I'm thinking, this is it for this old boy. But guess what? God had other plans. I'm still here. Amen. God had other plans. Amen. So don't give up. Don't be fearful just because you might go through a test or a trial here and there, but keep the faith. Why? Because God is faithful. He haven't given you the spirit of fear. Let's look at St. John 14 and verse 25. If you would, I don't know if he got these on the screen. If not, but we'll go there. St. John 14, verse 25. These things have I spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. How many know he's yet teaching us? See, don't ever get to the place to where you are not teachable. Always remain teachable. Okay? I'm still learning. I learn from brothers that's teaching, you know, Brother Eric, Brother Mike, Brother Wee, all these brothers that I'm around, I learn from them. You know, some people think, well, you know, you've been in X amount of years, you know, how many know we'll never outgrow the truth of God's word? See, we keep growing. We got to stay hungry for the things of God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is teaching us how to come God's way. See, so if I get to the place where I'm unteachable, guess what? I'm going to quit growing. So I don't want to quit growing, okay? He said, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. See, and that's what happened to me on that hospital bed. God, the Holy Spirit brought back what God had already said to me in the Word. Because it was Scripture. I mean, you know, the Word of God does declare you will live and not die. And let's go a little further and declare the works of the Lord. And guess what it did? It built faith in my spirit to say, God ain't through with you yet, John. See, sometimes we think, well, God is through with me, honey. As long as you got breath and you still on this earth, God ain't through with you yet. Some people think, well, man, I'm too old now. No, how many know we never get too old for this? Thank God for that. Amen. Well, I'm too old. I need to retire. I mean, no, we don't retire from the gospel. We just keep growing, getting more wisdom, getting more knowledge, getting more peace. You know, we're just growing into it. It's already in us, but how many know he's making us aware of it? Okay? And notice what he said, that it will bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Notice what he says here now. Do not let what? Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be what? Fearful or afraid. That's Jesus telling us this. So what he's really saying, stop allowing yourself to be agitated. Now, this scripture, that's what it says there in John, but I'm going to read, this is coming out of the Amplifier here. It says, stop allowing yourself to be agitated. How many, be honest, sometimes I'm just agitated with what's going on now. See, stop being agitated. Why should I stop being agitated? And disturbed and not permitting yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. That's what he's saying. It's gone. Okay. But I got it on my words here. It says, do not let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be agitated. Don't let your soul become agitated. See, I mean, you know, it doesn't affect my spirit man, but it affects my soul man. And that's the distinguish we got to make sometime in life. We got to understand the difference in the spirit dealings and the soul dealings. How many know the soul operates by mind, will, and emotions? And sometimes our emotions get out of whack because of the things that's going on around us. It gets agitated. And sometimes we don't know how to deal with that. But if you would just tell yourself, just get quiet. Just calm down. Yes, just be still. Just calm down. How are you going to tell yourself to calm down in the midst of stuff that's going on? Practice. Quit allowing yourself to get so stressed out about stuff and start practicing the peace of God, the joy of the Lord. Amen. Start talking to yourself. That's what David did when his soul got so down. David said, what's going on with you, soul? Why are you so disturbed and messed up? Hope thou in God. Get up from here. What was David saying? These emotions that's trying to portray that I'm depressed. No, you got to go. There's something greater down on the inside. And how many know feelings are true, but how many know they don't outlast the Holy Spirit? And that's what we got to understand. Things are going to happen. I'm going to feel frustrated. I'm going to feel like I'm unsettled. But what I got to do with those feelings is settle down. And begin to talk to yourself a little bit. Somebody said, man, don't be talking to yourself. How many know we got to talk to ourselves sometimes? We got to talk to self. We got to let self know, hey, look, you ain't in control here. He's in control. You shut up and let him come forward. Why? Because of the ability that God has put in every one of us. That's what he said. We don't have the spirit of fear, but of love and power. And that word power means the ability that God has put on the inside of you. And that's why the Bible said we can do exceedingly abundantly above all things that we ask according to the power that works in us. Yeah. It's in me, the work for me. Oh, come down. Hey, it's a disciplined mind. See, and we talked a little bit about this on Wednesday night. How many know it's so important that we become disciplined in the things of God? Do you not know most every religion has a discipline process and they don't fuss about it, but the church will fuss back every time you talk about discipline. You know why? Because we're full of self. And we're selfish, and we don't want to give up our right for God to lord over our lives. So it's my life, God, I live the way. No, your body belonged to him. He paid for it. You didn't die on the cross. He did. He said your body belonged to him. It's been bought. You're only living now because he gave up his life. So, what he's saying here, quit getting so agitated. See, and that's what the enemy, he thrives on that, the agitation. You know, if I can do this, get them agitated with each other. They won't do this. They won't do that. But how many know we got to begin to discern those things, those times. Begin to watch how the cycle goes. And you'll begin to see at certain times the enemy will try certain tricks. But you can call him on every one of them and say, not this time. I learned from the last one. I am not going to be afraid. If I die, guess what? To die is to be present with the Lord. Amen. But as long as I'm in this earth, I'm going to live for him. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to speak his word. I'm going to speak his word over my life. And I'm going to enjoy my relationship with him. Why? Because that's the purpose of God. Amen. All right. So quit, don't get so agitated. When you get agitated from now on, let's take a deep breath. Say, just take a deep breath and ask yourself, why am I agitated? Well, they didn't treat me right. Well, that's all right. Pray for them and you'll be all right. Because he told you, you ain't going to always be treated right. Amen. But you commit your life to him who judge righteous. And you'll be okay. Why? Because God is righteous and just. I can't help what people do to me, but I can help what I do to others. Amen? So I got to quiet myself down and quit responding out of irritation and agitation. I remember this guy called me on the phone one time, and he was asking me so many questions. And I just got irritated. And Faye, she said, John. When she say John, I know I done crossed the line. I done went further than I needed to. But he was irritating me. He just asked me questions. Do you do this? What do you do? What do you believe? Oh, no, no. And I just said, I talk about the Bible. That's what I talk about. I teach the Bible. I preach the Bible. But I said, Lord, I am sorry. I was in the wrong attitude. And she got my attention, and God did too, because immediately the Holy Spirit started talking to him, dealing with my heart, you know. Now, what you did was not right, John. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Jesus. But I got so, see, irritation sometimes will cause us to respond out of the flesh. We'll flush out. People say, well, I thought you were saved. I am saved. I'm growing. I don't always get it right, but my intentions is to do it right. But something about this flesh. Every time I get a truth, it breaks out in another way. My goodness. Like the apostle said, well, who then can be saved, Lord? With man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Yeah. So I'm learning, John, relax, talk to God about this irritation. Talk to God about this unsettledness. Because sometimes what it is, God is kind of putting his finger on something that we need to deal with. And we want to make it look like it's somebody else's irritating us, but all the time it's something down in there irritating it, but we want to blame it on somebody else. Oh, I've lived for a while. I know what I'm talking about. And we say, no, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be. No, honey, come on. It's more than that. Let's talk about you for a minute. Amen? But he's saying, quit, don't allow this fear to irritate you or to intimidate you. And how many know fear will, it intimidated me. I'm telling you, the opportunity will come. Amen. But guess what? God has got us. And he's wanting to let us know, John, you don't have to be afraid. I am with you. Okay. And the Bible says, in Isaiah 10 and 8, it says, But you, O Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, descended of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its remotest parts, and said to you, you are my servant. I have chose you and not rejected you. How many know God has said the same thing about you and I in Ephesians? It says, I have chose you from the foundation of the world. And watch what he says here. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxiously looking about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and surely I will help you. How many know he's already told us who the helper is, and how many know he's the Holy Spirit? Why not let him help you? Let him help you. That's what he's there for. He's your counselor. He's your advisor. He's your advocate. Amen. He's your helper. Just think, when we go through, let's just pause for a minute and say, Holy Spirit, what do we need to do here? Take some time to talk to him. I'm telling you, he's there. And if you have him, he's going to lead and guide you into what? Truth. All truth. Okay? Psalms 46, verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. We will not be afraid. I didn't write this one down, but it's I hear it in my spirit churning a little bit. Psalms 27, he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Even when my enemies rise up against me, they will utterly fall. Why? Because my confidence is in him. Amen? So today, church, don't be afraid of what's coming on this earth. Some things God has already told us is going to come, and we can't pray it away. But there are some things that we can pray and stop some of the devastation that's happening in our lives. Amen? But we got to remember what, that's why we need a good, healthy study of the Word of God, so that we would know what God has said is going to happen, so I don't try to buck up against God. Because how many know sometimes we try to buck up against him and say, no, this ain't going to happen. But if God has said it, guess what? It's going to happen. See, so I got to come in alignment with what he's doing. Not what I'm doing, but what he's doing. Okay? You okay? Have we got rid of fear yet? Oh, I like it. Somebody say, yeah. All right. Okay. Has anybody been battling fear? I mean, I know we all see it from time to time, but you've been battling fear, loneliness, and fear. Just raise your hand. We're not going to embarrass you, okay? Been battling fear, okay? All right, do y'all see these hands? All right, somebody go and lay hands, pray for them. We're going to pray for them. Go lay hands. Somebody that don't have fear, go pray for them. Amen. Hold your hand up. We're gonna minister. This is body ministry. Amen. Go pray for that sister or that brother. Amen. Why? Because fear don't belong to you. The Bible said God has not given you the spirit of fear. Amen. I'm going to read this over you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 1 and 6 says, for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or spirit of fear, but of power and love and a disciplined mind. Father, we just pray for those right now that has raised their hands, Lord God. And God, we rebuke this fear off of them right now, God, and we replace it with your peace. We say, peace come to this situation in the name of Jesus right now. And God, we thank you right now, Father. God, that fear has to go because it's not of you. And Lord, we thank you for it, Lord, that we can take authority over it, God, because you've given us authority. And God, we pray right now that this fear is broke off of them in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, give him some praise. Give him some praise. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Fear has to go. Amen. Because God has got every answer that we need. Amen. And we're just going to seek him out. Father, we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Come on, give Jesus a cheer right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Fear doesn't belong here. Amen. We are people that are fearfully, wonderfully made by God. Amen. And God is our provider and our protector. Amen. At this time, we're gonna receive an offering for Pastor Terry and Miss Brenda. Okay, and what you can do is just bring whatever you like to bring. We're not telling you what to put in the plates, but if you just do that, and we're going to pray, and you can be dismissed while you're doing that, okay? Father, we thank you so much today for your word, Lord. And God, we just pray that this word, God, would just enter into the very wound of our spirit, Lord. And God, we know that you haven't given us a spirit of fear. You haven't given us a spirit of cowardness. But Lord, you've given us a spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. And Lord, we pray today, Lord, we pray your peace, Lord, will cover those. Right now, we pray peace to replace that fear in Jesus' name. And Lord, as we depart from this place, watch over us and protect us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. Yes, if you want to go online, if you want to go online, just make sure you designate it to Pastor Terry's appreciation. Okay? Thank you. Yes. Don't forget tonight at 6 o'clock, we have a worship service here tonight. Worship and prayer. Don't forget about tonight. Amen.